The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, starting off for today's message, I want to actually read a passage from Habakkuk chapter 1. So let's just jump right into it. In Habakkuk chapter 1, starting with verse 1, and I'm reading this in the NLT version, it says, "This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted." Now, listening to these words from Habakkuk, for how many of you does this prayer feel familiar? Maybe you have thought that there is no justice in the courts. Maybe you thought that the wicked are far outnumbering the righteous and justice has become paralyzed, right? And that the wicked are just so bent on violence and wickedness and all of these things. Maybe you feel a little bit like Habakkuk. And this is something that I want us all to understand, which is that the corruption in government is not a new thing. Wicked leaders is not a new thing. Even back in the time of Habakkuk, they were dealing with these sorts of things. So Habakkuk, he's here and he's crying out to God, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to do something on our behalf? And the Lord replies to Habakkuk, and this is what he says. Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am about to do something in your own day, something that you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. This is the way that God is going to move in this day. Even if he were to tell us, even if we were to know about it, we wouldn't believe it, because it's something only he can do. So we, the church, then, need to trust in the Lord. You see, because the Lord has spoken over this nation, and he said that if my people unite, and if they pray, and if they follow and obey me, then we will have the most righteous government that this nation has ever had since its founding. That's something that's amazing. That's something that seems impossible, especially given the current circumstances. But if we trust and obey God, it will come to pass as he said it, because we have a God who's able to make it happen. Amen. But you know that even in the time of our founding fathers, they also had to deal with corruption and wickedness. You know, it's true that many of our founding fathers, they were believers and they believed in the Lord. George Washington is a good example of this. When he was general in 1778, he issued the following orders that church service was supposed to be held every Sunday at 11 o'clock. And that it's expected of officers of all ranks that they're going to be in attendance as an example to other men. Imagine giving that order to all your men, right? And then he says, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. You see, this is the mindset that many of our founding fathers had, okay? They really believed that it was important that they honor God in everything that they do. And truthfully, we could use more of that in this day and age. But there were still people that were wicked, even back then. There were still people who were corrupt and did ungodly things. Now, many of you may be familiar with a man by the name of John Quincy Adams. You see, he was the sixth president of the United States of America, but not many people know that he was also the only president who served as a U.S. congressman after being president. Because most people, right, they get elected as president, they serve their terms, and then they probably are like, okay, I'm done, right? I'm done with politics. I'm tired. I want out, right? Because I imagine it's probably a pretty stressful job. But John Quincy Adams, he decided that his calling wasn't done yet. It wasn't finished. And the truth is because God put something in his heart. He had a mission that he still needed to accomplish, and he decided, you know what? I still need to go back to Washington and get this job done. And the thing, the mission that God really put on John Quincy Adams' heart was the abolition of slavery. He really wanted to see slavery abolished, gone for good. In his own words, he said that in reference to slavery, that slavery is a sin before the sight of God. That's how he viewed it. And he became so relentless in the pursuit of liberty and equality for Black Americans that he became known as the Hellhound of Abolition. Okay, and he basically argued during many court hearings on behalf of slaves. He argued to make sure that laws were passed to protect them and make sure that eventually it would be abolished completely. Now, something I want us to shift focus to the modern day, because the truth is, in this day, there are still laws on the books that are a sin before the sight of God, things that make him grieved and upset and angry to look at, that we as Christians have allowed to become the law of the land. And back then, the big issue that God called John Quincy Adams to take down was slavery. And man, he was persistent. The truth is, we as Christians in this day, we also need to be persistent to purge from this nation those things that grieve the Lord, things that are a sin in his sight. But the walk that John Quincy Adams walked, it was not an easy one. But fortunately, he had this conviction in him. He knew that God had called him to fight the fight on behalf of people that couldn't fight for themselves. In fact, he had his own favorite verse, and the verse comes from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It goes as follows. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery for sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So John Quincy Adams, right, he read that scripture and he's like, yes, God has anointed me and empowered me, and I'm going to bring freedom to those captives. And that's exactly what he was fighting for all the time. So he was partnering with a lot of organizations that were trying to get something moving in Washington, because let's face it, sometimes things in Washington move kind of slowly, and maybe you've witnessed that, right? So he's kind of partnering and, you know, working with these different organizations. In 1834, the American Anti-Slavery Society, they began an anti-slavery petition drive. So they're going out, they're getting signatures, they're trying to get petitions that they can send to Congress and be like, look, we want slavery abolished. So in the year from 1837 to 1838, the abolitionists, they sent more than 130,000 petitions to Congress asking for the abolition of slavery in Washington, D.C. Now that's a lot. And the reason why we know it's a lot is because back then, in 1830, the U.S. population was only 12.8 million people, okay? They're sending 130,000 petitions to Congress when there's only 12.8 million people in the U.S. So they're sending a lot of petitions. They're getting a lot of signatures, okay? But what happened is that those people that were pro-slavery, right, and we talk about there's wicked people back then, there's wicked people now. There's corruption back then, there's corruption now. They didn't like this. They didn't like all these petitions coming in, and they were becoming more adamant in their defense of slavery. So what happens is in May 1836, the House passed a resolution, and this resolution stated that any petitions related to slavery or the abolition of slavery are going to be automatically tabled or postponed without hearing them. Now imagine that. Such a one-sided rule, right? Oh, we'll hear petitions for any other topic, any other issue, except for slavery. And in the following year, they passed even stricter versions of this rule. We don't even want to hear arguments about abolitionist slavery. We're just going to ban it altogether. Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about the economy? That's fine. Oh, you want to talk about funding for the troops? That's fine. Oh, you want to talk about slavery? Nope, that's banned. Sorry, we're going to automatically table it. We're not even going to discuss it. So when John Quincy Adams sees this, and again, he's a congressman, right? This is a direct quote from him. He says, "I hold the resolution to be a direct violation of the Constitution of the United States." And let me be real with you, I agree with him. How can you say, oh yeah, well, we'll hear arguments for any topic except for slavery? It'd be like in this day if Congress were to pass a ban on any kind of discussion or arguments regarding abortion. Could you imagine that? That would be so unconstitutional. But here, all the way back in the 1830s, they're doing exactly that. Nope, you want to talk about slavery? Nope, oh, sorry, we passed a ban, we're not going to talk about it, okay? So, back then, they were passing unconstitutional laws, if you can imagine it. Back then, there were wicked politicians that were making all kinds of dirty deals. But, what's important is that the righteous people will stand up for what is right. That they're going to decide, nope, we're not going to back down, we're going to be persistent, we're going to continue pressing to make sure the will of God manifests here on earth as it is in heaven. So, John Quincy Adams, he was banned, right? He couldn't even talk about slavery. So he tried to submit petitions and submit these, you know, writings that people were bringing into Congress, and he tried to do them in sneaky ways. So for example, one of the things that he did is he started calling the petitions prayers. So instead of saying, oh, it's an anti-slavery position, is that, oh, I'm going to pray, because, you know, they'd open it with prayer, right? And then he would take the petitions that people wrote in and read them in such a way they sounded like a prayer, right? Oh, Lord, I pray that Congress would remove slavery. And then obviously people didn't like that, right? Oh, no, quiet. No, you're not allowed to do that. So I like John Quincy Adams. It's funny. Oh, I'm not allowed to talk about it. Well, I'm just going to pray. In 1840, he introduced 511 petitions alone. That's more petitions than there's days in the year. So he was a really persistent guy, okay? And what happened is that he had to, over the course of 10 years, try to flip enough votes so that eventually they could remove this ban, okay? He had to get enough congressmen on his side to say, look, this ban is unconstitutional. We should be able to make these petitions from the people known to Congress and vote on whether slavery is something we can abolish or not. And it took him 10 years to do that. Imagine that. Not to abolish slavery. It took him 10 years to remove a ban that prevented him from talking about slavery. Can you imagine that? But John Quincy Adams had this purpose, this God-given purpose in him. I'm going to do what is right because slavery is wrong and God has called me to see it removed. And so what happened is over the course of the time he served in Congress, he took congressmen under his wing. He trained them up. He showed them the ropes and he trained them, you know, on the laws of why slavery is wrong according to God and the strategies we can use to get rid of it. Now, unfortunately, John Quincy Adams, he didn't get to see the abolition of slavery. It did not come in his lifetime. But he did lay the groundwork for people who would come later. You see, remember how I talked about how he trained up many congressmen who came in to Congress and he showed them the ropes and he discipled them and taught them all kinds of things. One of those congressmen in 1864 was a new congressman from Illinois, served one term, by the name of Abraham Lincoln. He became one of John Quincy Adams' disciples. John Quincy Adams unknowingly trained the man who would free the slaves here in America. You see, he didn't even know the influence he would end up having, but because he was faithful to the Lord, he was able to prepare the way. Now, I truly believe that it was God's perfect will that slavery would have been abolished through the legal system. That the people in Congress would have gotten it together and they would have voted and made it illegal through legal means. But unfortunately, due to the stubbornness of the hearts of the people at the time, we had a civil war. And it was a dark time in our nation's history. Something we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that we, right now, are fighting a spiritual battle for the heart and soul of this nation and for its future. So we, the church, need to be persistent in our prayers and in our obedience to the Lord. And if the Lord is calling you to act, if the Lord is calling you to do something, do it. Even if you don't understand it, even if you feel like you're out of your depth, you need to answer the call of the Lord. Because if not, if the righteous do nothing, then we are giving authority over to the wicked. The truth of the matter is that we're in the situation we are in today because the church became complacent, comfortable, and they stepped away from their positions of authority. We allowed the Bible to be taken out of schools. We allowed the media to be taken over by wicked people and perverse people. And instead, right, we argued amongst each other about doctrinal disputes. We played territory wars with one another. Oh, you're stealing the sheep. Oh, you're doing this and that. Meanwhile, the nation has fallen into wickedness. You can blame the politicians. You can blame this or that. But the truth is that the responsibility rests on us, the church, because we are the light of the world. If darkness is able to take over, it means it's because the light has not been shining like it's supposed to be. And now we've got all these ruins, we've got all these problems that need cleaning up. And we can decide whether we're going to sit around and leave it for the next generation, or whether we're going to obey God now and make it to where the next generation doesn't have to deal with these problems that we have now. We need to be persistent in our faith and obedience to God. And understand that I'm not saying don't assume you know what to do. Don't jump to some conclusion and decide, okay, then this is what I need to do. Focus on where God has placed you and what God is telling you to do, and be persistent in it. Don't let up after a day. Don't let up after 2 days. Continue going. John Quincy Adams had to fight for 10 years just to be able to talk about slavery, but he didn't give up because he believed and he knew that he was anointed by God. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to bring freedom to the captives. He believed it and he understood it. If God has called you to do it, he will empower you to see it done. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells this parable. It says in verse 2, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what the people thought." Okay, so this is a wicked and corrupt judge. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God, and I don't care what the people think, but because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" Right? This lady keeps bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. I'm just going to make sure her problem gets fixed so that she'll leave me alone. That's what he says. And then Jesus said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. 'And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth?" Now God is looking at the earth and he's looking and he's saying, "Is there somebody who is faithful whom I can trust with my will? Is there somebody who I can send? Is there somebody who will go for me, who's not going to change the instructions, who's not going to try and establish their own reputation, build up their own name, but will go where I send them and say what I tell them to say?" God is looking for those people now, and it is those people who are going to be anointed to transform this nation. So before I go, let's go back now to Habakkuk. So as I said before, Habakkuk was praying a prayer that maybe feels familiar to you. He was complaining that there's no justice in the courts. He was complaining that the wicked outnumber the righteous. And he was wondering why it was that justice is becoming converted, and if anything will happen, will anything change? And God responds, and Habakkuk continues, "Lord, are you going to allow Israel to be destroyed? Lord, when are you going to move?" And then Habakkuk decides in his heart. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I'm going to climb up to my watchtower. I'm going to stand at my guard post, and I'm going to see what the Lord says and how he will answer me. This is the attitude that we have to have. If you pray, you should have the expectation that the Lord will answer you. And if you don't get an answer immediately, you should be persistent. Okay, I didn't hear. I'm going to come back tomorrow. We're going to do this again. I'm going to come back again, and we're going to do this again. Do not let up. Be persistent in your faith and obedience to God. Then it says in verse 2, the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And that is true in this day. The word that the Lord spoke will come to pass. It will happen. It will not be delayed. So when the Lord said that we will see the most righteous government that this nation has ever had since its founding, that will come to pass. And the Lord has said to us, my people must unite and must follow me and focus on me. Those are the instructions. And then he continues telling Habakkuk, look at the proud and look at what they've done. They think they're so safe. They think they're so powerful, but they're going to be proven wrong. And it says in verse 12, what sorrow awaits you, you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption. Has not the Lord of heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard, but in vain. And you see, it doesn't matter how powerful the corrupt people are. It doesn't matter what influence they have, because any plans they have when the Lord moves will be in vain. Their power cannot compare to the power of the Lord Almighty. And then he says in verse 14, and I want you to pay attention to this. He says, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. This is what God is looking to manifest in this day. And we can see it begin to manifest in this generation if we choose to pursue God and obey God in this day. Brothers and sisters, we are in the middle of a spiritual battle for the future of this nation and for the very soul of this nation. We cannot wait till November. We need to be on our knees praying now. We need to be obeying the Lord now, engaging in spiritual warfare now. We cannot look to an individual to save us. It is only the Lord who is going to be able to uproot the corruption in Washington. We must focus on obeying him in this day. So hopefully this lights a bit of a fire in you. I want to see some Christians who are persistent, who are consistent, and who have faith and passion for following and obeying the Lord, because that's what we need. We do not need people that want to just stay comfortable, that just want to do their own thing. They're going to be complacent and not be bothered about the situation around them. The time for willful ignorance is over. The time for obedience and faith is now. Choose this day to be a persistent and consistent Christian in obeying and following the Lord. Because as I said before, the corrupt governments, they're not a new thing. Wicked people abusing their power, it's not a new thing. But we do serve a Lord who is faithful, who is all-loving, and is all-powerful. We can trust in God. Amen. So I'm about out of time for this week, but I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And before we go, let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for the words that have been spoken this day, God. I pray, Lord, that it would truly light a fire in their heart, that they would feel so passionate about pursuing the calling that you have for them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that in this day they would choose to be persistent and consistent in their obedience to you, Lord, that they would choose not to just sit around comfortably, but they're going to chase after your will in their lives with everything that they can, Lord. And I thank you, God, strengthen their faith, strengthen their bodies, Lord. Give them wisdom, God, that they would know that so long as you are with them, nothing can stand against them. And I thank you, God, that to this day, I am speaking to a group of world changers who are going to be used mightily by you. I thank you, Lord, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.